happy with it.
So, I decided you can start. I can that sounds really bad, but what? There's a reason. Okay.
Okay, Dad.
You say, you're not my dad.
You're not my dad. You're not my real father.
You say, I don't know.
You want me to
welcome to the Carpe and Zen Show. I'm Joseph Carpenter. And then I say, I'm Jacob Larson, and together we are Carpe Zen.
Okay, so I know that you're not going to edit any of this out. So
I will edit.
This is just how it's going to go.
Well,
the I opening
really
of the show.
You to do what I just said. Dance, monkey, dance.
All right, line.
Welcome to the Carpe and Zen Show.
And then what?
I'm Joseph Carpenter.
And then?
Then I talk.
And then that's it?
Well,
that's the whole opening.
No. Then I talk.
Oh.
And then I say, I'm Jacob Larson. And together we are.
Oh. Carpe. So you want to do the one that we came up with like a year ago?
Well, it's pretty close. I think it's close to that.
Okay.
We just say our whole names so people can figure out why we're Carpe and Zen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They're not going to figure it out.
Well.
Welcome to the Carpe and Zen Show. I'm Joseph Carpenter.
And I'm Jacob Larson.
And together.
We are.
Carpe
and Zen.
Did that go down the way you thought it would?
I think you stopped in the middle. It's kind of how I felt. But
welcome to the Carpe and Zen Show, where it's not really a show. It's just two guys sitting on a couch talking to a camera for like 45 minutes. Yeah.
You're like the little sweet on the Dr. Pepper commercials. It was supposed to be like what, Prince?
I think
what he's supposed to be? Only that's not Prince.
No, I don't think he was Prince. I think he was like, I don't know, not Prince.
Well, I think he's supposed to be, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know things.
Little Richard. Richard. He's supposed to be
Little Richard.
He's supposed to be Little Richard.
Okay. Oh, hey, Joseph.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So I've been thinking a lot about our podcast.
Oh, okay.
So we changed the name back.
So we're just back to what we were.
Yeah, we're back to what it was. Our last episode that we recorded as Carpe and Zen was January 2019.
So we're coming up on our... That was a while ago.
So I re-uploaded all the last three episodes.
Okay.
Under Carpe and Zen.
All right.
And I'm calling it season two. Because there's seasons on...
Definitely.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So this is season two, episode four.
Awesome.
Yeah. That sounds like an accomplishment.
That sounds... See, if you didn't actually know...
Surprise! Here is a new show.
We're going to get so many uploads. Or downloads. What do they call them?
Downloads.
Is that what they call them on...
When you send something somewhere, it's up. When you take something, that's down.
Oh, I didn't expect you to get technical, but I'm glad that you did.
but I'm glad you did.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. So how's your week been? That good, huh?
Yeah. Actually, no. Okay. Let me say this. As a matter of being recorded always and forever, I've been sick, right? So... It's the first time in my married life that I've been sick.
Okay, yeah.
My wife works from home.
Mm-hmm.
So she's there to, like, take care of me all the time. It's pretty awesome. Mostly, and also, it shouldn't be understated how lazy I am.
You keep saying things like this. She might start listening to the show.
No, she's not going to listen to the show.
there's give her no a good way. Reason to.
There's no way.
Wait. All he does is say nice things about me? I'm going to listen to that.
One more download.
Cha-ching.
But yeah, it's been, you know, kind of relaxing. I haven't felt well, but that's okay.
It's not the virus.
It's not the coronavirus. No, I did get tested. I do not have the coronavirus.
Mm.
But being quarantined was awesome.
It's everything you've hoped for.
I can't go anywhere? What?
I have to stay where I am? Stop it.
So there was a meme that got passed around really early during this whole quarantine thing, and it was... something to the effect of shut-ins, like reach out to your social friends or something like that. They're not dealing with this well. I don't remember exactly.
All the introverts.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I've been quarantining for years, right?
Yeah. It's like introverts, reach out to your extrovert friends. They're not dealing well with this right now.
Let's make sure that they're okay. It's like at work. They're you know, suddenly they have to do, everyone has to do video and everyone has to do distance learning, which is
what we do.
Like, that's my background, right? My doctorate's in e-learning and we do video.
Yeah.
So people come and talk to me and they're like, so this is like you're totally like, this is okay for you, right? Like, yeah, it's kind of not hard.
So this is your utopia. I mean,
but I'm only 10 years into distance learning, so as a teacher.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is your utopia.
Yeah, this is kind of like the perfect storm for me.
It advanced my career.
Yeah.
As a filmmaker.
Which I am so...
It did.
I think I'm happier for you about that than you are.
Yeah, well...
I shouldn't take credit.
It was a big pay cut.
That's why... That's the bitter and the sweet.
Yeah.
And the bittersweet, yeah.
But... I feel like I've learned so much more just in the recent months.
Like in filmmaking?
Yeah, just in filmmaking.
That makes me
and
happy.
And continue, you know?
Yeah.
Like never stop learning, whatever.
I'm so happy that you're spending so much time editing. Because remember when I get frustrated with you editing, I'm like, Joseph, you just do this. Because Joseph has shaky hands, right?
I do.
Joseph has shaky hands.
I'm a terrible cameraman.
I didn't know how to express this to him, so I tried to make him edit his own footage.
I enjoy editing my own footage.
I thought it was like penalized. Like I was like, well, I'll show you, right? You gotta just edit this. Anyway,
I use it as a stylistic choice now. If anything, I shake the camera more. I turn IBIS off.
You know, like Jared Polin, Fronos Photo. He's got those. You haven't ever seen.
Is he a Jew?
He's a Nikon shooter.
Okay.
He's got a big fro, and okay, that's his catchphrase, Fronos Photo. And his shirts say I shoot raw, right? That's his brand, right?
Yeah.
I was going somewhere with this.
Oh, sorry.
I forget what it was.
It was the Jew comment, wasn't it?
Well, I don't even pay attention to that, you know? Like, you're like, is he Jew? I don't know. I don't know the guy. He's white and he's from back east. What does that mean? I don't know. He's got curly hair.
He's probably a Jew.
I don't care. It's good for him. Congratulations.
It's not a bad thing.
No. I just don't know why it's like, does he have a left foot? It's like, I haven't checked. I'm going to have to go watch a video. Does he have a left foot?
Probably.
I feel like I need to make a Daniel Day-Lewis joke at some point.
No? I just watched a Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I rewatched one.
Is there a theme to the show yet?
I don't know.
My left foot. That was the joke, right? He made a movie.
Okay. Well, no, I just watched There Will Be Blood recently.
Sorry, we're in the second half of the Lakers game, and they were up by 30 at the half. But apparently Anthony Davis and Damian Lillard are both out.
I don't know.
I mean, that's not what you want, but it's not good for them, obviously. So we did talk about, today we could talk about distance learning.
Yeah.
Go for it. It's your idea.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. I said, hey, so what do you want to talk about? Okay. And then you came up with this great idea.
But do you remember?
I was like, okay.
That's right. Okay. But do you remember the part where the Batman trailer came out and that's all I want to talk about or think about?
I do remember that. And I said,
can we talk about
it?
Can we talk about it yet?
Oh, but we're recording now. Now we can talk about it.
Can I
go first?
We'll talk about distance learning later.
Sure. Making content for distance learning. That's the topic. Let's call it our marquee topic.
Oh, it is our marquee topic. Okay, fine. We'll talk about distance learning first.
No. We could talk about Batman first. Go ahead.
Batman.
The Batman trailer.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
You can go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I haven't been this excited for a movie in a long, long time. And it's not coming out for another year.
We think.
They
don't even know when it's coming out.
13 months is the planned period, right? But
I heard today they've shot approximately 30% of the movie, but they already have a great trailer.
30%?
Yeah.
That leaves an extra 70% of movie they have to shoot.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph does math.
I do a lot of math. You don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, are they even going to make an October release date? That's when I'm...
What, for next year?
Yeah. That's their release date right now, is October 2021.
They can do that. Are they back in production now?
Yeah, they're currently in production, according to the trailer. Well, then they're going to be fine. But...
It's not like they're going to, de-age Robert Pattinson. Though a lot of the stills...
They did that in It.
Though a lot of the stills, that real emo still that's going around...
Yeah.
It looks computer. It looks wrong. And I don't know why, because it's not like they had to change his face. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it is. It's just super...
No, I don't think so.
It's just super moody. Well, yeah. Here's the thing. When they did the... picture, when they released the picture of the Batman suit, the new suit,
mm-hmm.
right? It came out in six different grades. There's a red one and a blue one and a green one.
Yes, I remember
one.
The red.
And,
yeah.
And I was like, well, which one is it? You know? So maybe it's just a really heavy grade with some kind of a mask on it. But the emo shot.
Yeah. Because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. It makes sense to me. You know, so every Batman... Almost every Batman. Michael Keaton. We'll go to Michael Keaton, right? In Batman Returns, he tears the mask off when he talks to Selina, right? And it always bothered me that when he tore the mask off, he didn't have black makeup around his eyes. He just tears the mask off, turns his head, and it comes off, and his eyes are fine. Well, what the heck? But see, Robert Pattinson's Batman, he wears the makeup around.
Yeah, he's got the black eye makeup.
Yeah.
It's like the early seasons of Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ended up painting it on and then, he gears up. It was just it's a nice take on things. Yeah. Now I legitimately don't know why. But I haven't been this excited to see a movie since probably Mad Max Fury Road.
Right. So
that was probably the last great trailer that I saw that I said, yes. I mean, okay, and Star Wars, right? Star Wars.
Star Wars is for different reasons.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, I don't know how to say this. Every, this is really sacrilegious. Every new episode of Star Wars is like adding a new book to the Bible. You know, it's like, it's a big deal, and I have to accept it. You know what I mean?
Because
can't. Every new one is
you can't.
Do I believe in this?
You can't reject new scripture.
It's, you know what I mean?
You have to find your testimony about it, and
that's how I feel about Star Wars. Star Wars is more than just do I like it or not? It's no. This is now part of my life.
Yeah,
this is something I believe in. Anyway, Batman, huh?
No, yeah,
yeah,
but. Well, Batman doesn't have to go through that. Luckily, we can reboot Batman every 10 years or whatever. But and I genuinely...
Or you just say he's on a different Earth.
Yeah.
Is this apparently Earth 2? Did I hear that somewhere?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I've heard a lot of...
I don't think this is the same.
I've heard a lot of rumors that this is going to tie into the Joker movie somehow. Now, I don't think it was originally intended to.
But Joker was so successful.
Joker made too much money to be ignored, unfortunately. Mm. So is this in a slightly futuristic timeline? One thing I have noticed about the trailer so far, it doesn't seem to really have a time period. Now, it's a trailer, right? And I'm jumping. I'm making a major jump. They do crash a brand new Lincoln Navigator in the trailer, right? But everything else is kind of period neutral. So I don't know. And then the Joker film.
Yeah.
Again, a very kind of period neutral, set in the 80s-ish.
Yeah,
right? Early. They're like, oh no, it's set in the 80s. And I'm like, well, no, that was a 92 Fiero in there. Sorry, that's not the 80s anymore. But see, only car people understand that. And,
and I'm not a car people. It's like, I'm sorry, you paid attention to the car that blew up?
And it's one of those things that most people just don't care about, right? They go,
well, if it's a Batmobile, I'll pay attention to it blowing up. Otherwise, it's just a car to me.
Oh, and the Batmobile looks so
unless
cool.
It's a James Bond movie, I might pay attention to the car then.
Yeah. The Batmobile looks so cool. I don't know. It just, the nostalgia of the song is a 90s song. Right.
It's Nirvana.
So maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's a 90s piece in the way that Joker was an 80s piece. So, I don't know. But I loved it. It was just so cool.
So I rewatched it today. I rewatched it today because you'd been texting me everything you were saying. I was like, this is, I don't know how I feel about this. It's like I'm in love again. So I rewatched it again today. And then I immediately went into like a new Rockstars video about it because they I love new Rockstars.
I don't know who they are.
They're nerds.
Okay.
And they like to break down things and they have high production value. That's a quick explanation, right?
Nailed it.
yeah. So anyway, new Rockstars was doing their breakdown and they're breaking down the trailer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've already solved what the riddle is that like flashes across the screen. And I totally believe him. You know, like he explained it. I got halfway through that when it was time for me to leave work and come home. So
your job is awesome.
Well, I mean, I.
Yeah.
I am. I'm a teacher in the time of Corona. But it got me really excited. As I watched, what I love is the physicality of the fighting, right? You got all those guys, you know, they're watching him like, who that are you?
Yeah.
And he just beats the out of someone, right?
Well, and he doesn't.
And you know what it reminded me of?
Huh.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Well, he doesn't.
And I'm like, okay, if it's a Batman movie that feels like Daredevil, I'm in.
Yeah. So.
I already love it.
And here's the thing. Every Batman, not every Batman, but. Like Christopher Nolan's Batman, right? He gave him a very ethereal feel. When Batman was on the screen, you, especially with other characters, you barely knew he was there, right?
And that makes sense with the whole setup from Batman Begins on.
And that is how Batman is always depicted. That's how he should be depicted. But in this, like, he's just another pair of boots in the room. They literally have a shot of his boots at a crime scene.
As he walks
scene,
in, and there, everyone turns.
And everyone's looking at him like he didn't appear from a window somewhere.
Batman's standing in the room with the police officers.
He walked in, likely through the front door. Batman doesn't go through doors.
What's a door?
He doesn't. He just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So in the new Rockstars video, they were comparing it to like it's not like a Batman Year One. It's like Batman Year Two.
Yeah, I think that's what the director has said.
Yeah.
But and then you get to
and
the
because I've read Batman One, I understand that.
But then you get to the fight, right? You get to that little fight sequence. As an editor, I'm watching it going, they didn't cut anything.
It's incredibly simple.
It's minimal speed ramp. And some punching sounds, and that's it. That's another thing that
it's just choreography.
That's something they don't do with Batman. Batman moves quick. He moves otherworldly. He moves, then they cut to a bad guy getting hit, or he moves through, or something comes across the camera. That's just not how you film Batman fighting people. You don't do that. The most you get is from Schumacher, and it's a roundhouse kick from Val Kilmer. You know, from the top down, you get a top down shot. Val Kilmer, he does a roundhouse kick, kicks this guy in the face, and like maybe spins around again, and that's it. That's as long because first of all, it's really hard to move in that stupid suit that they build for Batman, right? But this one, they've obviously made it at least semi-functional
form. I like that when he pulls off the cowl, right? You see the whole neck come with it.
Yeah. And that was something that they did with Christopher Nolan's Batman. And every Batman that has been on screen, you know, since Tim Burton.
Okay.
Tim Burton's Batman.
Okay.
Batman doesn't move his head because he can't. Right? You'll see Michael Keaton a lot going like this. Because he can't turn his neck.
Right.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is something they end up addressing in Christopher Nolan's Batman. He talks to Lucius Fox and he says, you want to be able to turn your head. Right? And they give him this really stupid looking
which is like a meta.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just kind of a funny thing that they did. And then, you know, he does have a... And I don't know that they can turn his head in this Batman. I didn't see it, honestly.
That'd be something to look for, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge Batman fan.
Next trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when was the last time you saw a trailer that got you, like, super excited for a movie?
This is my favorite kind of thing to think about.
Because I legit, like, I have dug back in my mind hard to find, and it was Mad Max, Fury Road, when that initial trailer came out. And maybe,
I don't know.
And
maybe when it comes to, like, wanting to, like, break something down, because I wanna milk it for everything, I don't know. I mean, it's probably... Star Wars.
Not Star Wars.
But, like, Rise of Skywalker didn't do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a fun thing to think about. Honestly, when I first thought about it...
I probably watched Solo really carefully.
I went back to The Matrix.
Which, again, Star Wars, but...
I went back to The Matrix, seeing that preview for the first time. I just wanted to know what The Matrix was. I actually looked up the word. In a dictionary.
In a what? This is where they put the words.
Yeah.
This is where they put the words. Did you know this? Yeah.
When we come back to that. When we come back to that, I want to know that from you. What's...
Oh, man, I'm...
And does Batman do that for you, or is it just me?
Batman doesn't... He is probably my favorite DC character, right? But, like, our Batmans that we've had recently, we've had the Gotham Batman. We had, you know.
Which was a fun series.
The DCEU, is that what they call it?
I think so.
Batman, which has just been okay. This Batman I'm excited for.
Yeah.
And it I think it's because it reminded me of the very practical character that Daredevil is in the Netflix series.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Just that single one shot of him beating that guy up. Like I said, minimal speed ramps, putting in punching sounds. You know, yes, it's a very flattering position to beat someone up from, but he had to learn how to move. They don't cut away to make him look any faster. I mean, yes, like I said, they do speed ramp him.
We know he could be fast.
Yeah.
He was a vampire.
Okay, no. See,
like a very fast vampire.
Don't sully it.
Among other things.
I actually have a very deep respect for...
we're going to have to see what we think about Tenet.
For David Slade. And he directed one of the Twilight movies and produced the other.
Oh.
But I have a deep love for him.
After the first one, they were like, whoa, wait. We got to rethink this.
I don't know who directed the first one.
I don't know either.
David Slade directed the second one. And then he produced the third one. The third and fourth one or whatever. But he's a director, and I like his style. He speaks to me.
Man, I don't know what, but like after rewatching it today, I was probably a Marvel movie.
Probably a Marvel movie.
Probably one of the last two Avengers that I've just really eaten up. Yeah.
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 See, I'm like over the
because like Rise of Skywalker, I didn't want to know anything going into it.
Yeah,
I just surprised me.
Yeah,
tell me what actually
just
happens.
Want to watch the movie.
Marvel, I was like complete opposite. I want to know what everyone thinks.
Yeah,
that's how I felt.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's good. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
So speaking of teaching, like I called home to one of my students today.
Okay.
turned into assignments since the podcast started. It's pretty good.
Way better than I am. I haven't done any assignments since the podcast started. All right, so teaching. Yeah, let's talk about distance learning. Now, I know a lot of, like, especially in Arizona right now, which is where we're at. I know everybody was dying to know. schools are still closed in our area, not everywhere.
About half the schools in the area are distance as opposed to in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And including mine.
I know a lot of people that are struggling with the online portion of that, right? They're just not, they're not techie people, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to stay on their kids to get their assignments done. So I figure you as a teacher and as a parent, but your kids are now in school, right?
Their school started this week and it's in person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, you've had to deal with it in the past, right? Mm. Getting the assignments done. What are some tips and tricks? Three tips and tricks. Go.
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to answer what I want, because that's how people pivot.
That's
right?
How podcasts
work. That's a pivot. I hear what you said, and I'm not going to answer
that. I'm not going to answer that question.
I think the first thing you need to do, because my background is in trying to solve that problem, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm obviously a horrible person because I criticize other people.
You're going to heck.
H-E-C-K. You just watch your mouth. I think the biggest problem that I'm and the teachers that I'm working with right now are dealing with is not our end. It's that students need to learn how to do it. Does that make sense? Because it's a different way of learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different way of thinking for them. They don't have the structure that they're used to, right? And your teachers can try to build the structure, but the biggest thing is classroom management is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. When students walk into the room and they know for 55 minutes, I'm going to be in this room and I have to do what the teacher says, then I get 5 minutes, and then it's another 55 minutes to do what that teacher says. It's a very different structure than this assignment is due today.
Yeah.
Because... and this is what teachers and parents and students all need to understand is we can't control the home environment. We can control the classroom, but we can't control that. So the first thing you need to understand is it's how do you plan for that?
Mm-hmm.
All the dumb filler assignments that get assigned are completely pointless because you don't have to manage a student because they're in your room. Mm-hmm. And they can't be anywhere else. So your priority has to be, how do I engage this kid so that they can learn something in the shortest amount of time possible? Because I don't know how long I'm going to have their attention.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to plan that way, you're planning to fail.
Right.
The first thing teachers have to accept is you cannot do the same thing and expect to be successful because you won't be.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, students also have to understand this is not the same thing, and so do parents. I was talking to one thing that we did at the last of the last semester of school, last school year. It's hard to say. we had to do paper packets because a lot of our students didn't have access to computers to be able to do anything. This time around, we've provided the computers and we've worked with local telecom to provide internet for our kids so that they can do distance learning. So the first time around is very different than the current time. We had to do everything from paper. And I was talking to this parent today and she's like, you know, can we just do paper packets? And I'm like, we'd really discourage that because now you're missing out on everything that the technology can offer, mm-hmm. which is access to the teachers, being able to communicate with them, any sort of videos that the teachers have created. Because when you hand someone a paper packet, you've now told the kid, not only do you have to do this at home, you have to teach yourself with paper,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's a really tall order to ask. But some people, I can see why they would want to do that because it feels easier. Oh, I don't have to learn the computer because I already understand paper.
Yeah.
But it is.
Well, no, if you, as someone
not
who,
as engaging.
Yeah, as someone who has been to a lot of different online programs mm-hmm. and done a lot of distance learning, I know that I have preferred the paper. Not because I can skip directly to the end, go, okay, these are the questions I have to answer, and then jump back and find keywords that I need to answer those questions,
mm-hmm.
right? That's simpler to me and simpler to probably a handful of people, but they miss out on being able to have that engagement like with other students in the classroom, right? There's no, you're not mailing each other forums, right? It's not going to take you, it would take 100 years to get through fifth grade.
I hate online forums for teaching. They're a complete waste.
Yeah.
How people employ them, right? But to answer what you're talking about, you have different, I'm going to summarize, depth of knowledge is what I'm referencing here. But you have different learning activities that require deeper thought, mm-hmm. right? Finding an answer and giving it back to the teacher is entry-level thought. And if that's all they're asking you to do, you are not going to learn much. And that's what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we grew up with,
yeah.
largely, right? We weren't asked to do much with our information. We were asked to memorize it
yeah.
and report it back to the teacher.
Yeah.
Right? That's the entry-level stuff. And where we're trying to get people today is, why? You want to explain why? Why is it that way? Oh, wait, what? You want to justify that? Would you defend that?
Yeah.
Like, get to that critical, that strategic, that several layers into the thought process. And can that be done by paper? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, students need to have the skills to teach themselves. And if you start with a student that has trouble reading in the first place, and then all they have is a paper packet,
yeah.
how's that supposed to work?
Right.
And on average, high school seniors across America graduate high school with about a fifth or a sixth grade reading level.
Really? I thought it was just Arizona. I thought we were just really dumb.
Across America, average fifth or sixth grade reading level.
Hmm.
Which means the average student graduating high school struggles to read their own textbooks. Because textbooks are not written at the reading level.
Did you read textbooks in high school?
Did you ever have a teacher say, all right, you know, read this, answer the questions?
I just read the questions and...
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? This is what I tell my students. There's two things I like to do this with my, at the very beginning of my college classes. There's two things you can get out of this class. One is a grade. Right? And no matter what you do, you're going to leave this class with a grade. Number two, you can actually learn something. That's up to you. And I try to challenge them to establish some expectations at the beginning of the class. If you're just here to get the grade and you're expecting the teacher to figure out what you're going to learn, that is a horrible way to start a class. And yet, that's how most students start a class, because you are expecting the teacher to do all the work,
mm-hmm.
and you are going to show up and do what they say.
Right.
But you come to class with no expectation of actually learning something. No wonder you aren't getting anything out of it.
Well, you're always going to accidentally learn something.
Yes.
You know, if
you learn what you pay attention to.
If you show up enough, you're going to accidentally pick up on a few things. Like mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention in school. I still don't pay attention in school. I still go to school and don't pay attention.
I still go to school and don't pay attention.
And I've gone to a lot of school, but I've been doing a lot of, and you know, the semester I decide to take off is to make the movie is the semester where the Rona happened and everything got shut down. And it just became my dream of learning. Because I enjoy learning online, because I don't like people, right? I don't like...
We joke when we say that, but there's things that come with people that we don't enjoy. Like...
Talking to them.
it's the social pressures, the anxiety, I had to make phone calls today to parents. that's not my thing.
Yeah.
I want to teach the kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to try and get them at home when they are not interested in me interrupting their lives.
Well, the things that everybody suffers from, the social anxieties, right?
Yeah.
And it's not even so much that. It's when you get to school on a college level at a 200 level, right? Most of the class is just discussing things, right? Like, that's what the class is there to exist for. It's an open forum for people to talk and to learn from each other, you know, to do assignments, to learn from each other's assignments, especially like in leadership classes or any classes that have anything to do
very common for leadership, yeah.
You know, anything that has to do with interaction with people, right? Which is, that's why, like, why do you go to school? So you can get a good job, so that you can interact with people, right? That's why people go to school. So, but and what happens is I go, I could do so much of this on my own and not be bored and not have to spend an hour here 5 nights a week or 4 nights a week or whatever. And it's driving me crazy. And now the way college works is you have to be there. Remember when you didn't have to be at school?
I could explain why, but yeah.
I don't want to know. Yeah. I mean, I know why, right?
Was it Real Genius? I keep getting these mixed up. Real Genius, is that the Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Okay. Where, like, by the end of the semester, it's just the entire classroom full of tape recorders?
Yeah.
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 That's what I think of.
Well, I mean, and
that never happened when I got to college. Yeah. Wait a second.
But we're now, supposed to be here? But now you need to be in class, right? They take attendance, and then if you're not there for so many times, they drop you.
It's tied to funding.
And I understand that, right? I understand. I think it's stupid, but I understand it. But so what is happening? And
Lakers won by 20.
Yeah, Lakers.
You could care less. Go ahead.
But what I see happening with a lot of these teachers that are just newer to online teaching is they
is almost everyone.
Yeah, well, almost like literally everyone right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you have teachers that have been teaching for 40 years and all of a sudden they have to do everything online. And it's like, I got a computer in my classroom 10 years ago and I use it for emails and only started using it for emails 5 years ago because they told me that I had to. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's the mentality, right? And I don't know if that's how I'm going to be or how our generation is going to be when it comes to that. I feel like every generation is going to react slightly differently. I don't think that's going to be us, right? I mean, you know, when they bring these mind-warping tablets to our desks and go, back in my day, we just had computers and buttons. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down. But so what they're doing is they're just, well, I need to keep them busy for at least an hour. So how much work does it take for an hour? So just pile on the work, pile on the work, pile on the work. I had a reading and writing class that I took over the summer that I spent literally 4 hours a day on for 3 weeks.
Is this the one I was really upset about?
I don't know. But it was...
We talked a lot about one of your classes, and I was not happy with it.
I read thousands and thousands of pages. I wrote... I don't even remember. Was it 180 pages? In three months?
That's...
It was insane.
Lot. Yeah.
And it was just... And it was all busy work. All of it busy work.
I hate busy work.
And I'm
a teacher, right? I'm the teacher. Now, I completely endorse the idea of having procedures and systems in place so that the student is occupied the entire time that they're in class, right? Because if they're not, that's when problems happen.
Yeah.
Right? But it has to be authentic. It has to be relevant to the task.
That's a high school level. You're teaching on a high school level. This is a 200 level class where I don't have to turn in a doctoral essay at the end.
This is what I like to explain to my high school kids, that they think, oh man, I hate my high school teachers. I'm like, you know what? Your college teachers are literally required zero teaching experience to do the job, because that is not why they're there.
Yeah.
They're qualified because they have the right degree or the right years of experience in the field. Not because they got a teaching certificate. Like California used to have a teaching certificate for like community college teachers. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, they want you to take one class within the first 2 years of teaching at a community college. And if you're an adjunct, you're never required to do it, right?
I've been an adjunct for 5 years.
That is the that is the extent of the education they experience. And I say, okay, now backtrack. You know, your high school teacher.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be, I mean, depending on the route that you take, 15 to 30 education-specific classes, depending on which level you're teaching at. Then you have to pass two tests to get your certificate.
Yeah.
And you think your high school teachers don't know how to teach you? Your college teachers are clueless. They don't know how to teach. They know what they're teaching. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Now,
there's a difference.
That's based on training. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you won't have good college teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
So like back me, to back.
I'm amazing. I'm, you too, Joseph.
I'm an okay one. I'm okay. So back to how we help people.
Sorry, I thought I was here to say what I think about things.
No.
Not helping.
No, nobody cares. Okay. But
have I mentioned that I'm a doctor lately? Is this when I become obnoxious?
Oh, my goodness.
If you pan the camera, you can see my degree on the wall.
We don't have a cameraman. So, but
okay,
how
I'm done
do,
being obnoxious.
So how do we help these parents, right?
Okay, so parents. How do we help parents?
Yeah.
Parents need to have reasonable expectations, right? They need to understand their kid is not trained for this.
Yeah. They need to become familiar with the software. And I know it's like, well, I need some kind of tech support or something that I can call. Playing with technology now isn't like playing with technology back in the 90s or the 80s, where it was like, don't touch that, you're going to break it, you're going to mess up the settings, and you're like, don't be afraid to get into things, learn what's going on. You know, you can always do a refresh and you can find some tech support somewhere to help
you. Have you tried turning it off and on?
Have you tried turning it off and on again? But and this is something that I, when people ask me, because they're like, oh, you're a techie guy, right? That's part of my job. I do a lot of technological stuff, right? So they ask me, like, well, how do I set up these Zoom meetings? I'm like, I don't know. Click on the thing. There's probably a red button. It's probably towards the top of the screen or the bottom of the screen. Okay, but I don't know how to do that. Well, take the time and figure it out.
Once you kind of understand the UI of the internet, you can learn almost anything.
Yeah.
That's on the internet.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they're afraid. Mm-hmm. What they remember when they experience these things is, oh, I don't get this. Whether it's true or not,
yeah,
they just don't have a lot of confidence in themselves, which does make it difficult.
Right.
But the parents, okay, so if parents, first of all, concede that, okay, this is hard for the kids, right? And then number two, don't take the position that the teachers are the problem. Mm-hmm. And I know that's selfish for me to say, right? But it's not like your teachers aren't trying. They're trying to do everything they can. And the majority of the teachers that I know, they're really frustrated with the situation because they would rather just be there. Because mm-hmm. this isn't what they signed up for.
Right.
They didn't sign up to try and do this from a distance. They signed up to do it in person, and that's what they're good at.
Yeah.
So this is hard for them. But I will say this. Observing, watch. So I did a bunch of trainings at the beginning of the school year to get my teachers ready to do this. And now I'm getting emails that they're just sending out. They're like, all right, we had a bunch of questions, so I made these instructional videos. Feel free to use them. And I taught and I stepped back, and now they're just taking charge and they're doing it on their own. They're making interesting videos. They see problems. They're tracking things down. They meet together to solve these problems. They're helping the other kids out. If you had any idea what your teachers are doing on the other end, you would have a whole lot of respect for everything they're doing to actually make your life much, much, much easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and to the parents again, like don't be afraid of it, you know. And like you said, a lot of it comes with confidence, but you just have to step up and start messing with things. Like, you're going to figure it out. You mess with something long enough, eventually you're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. It might take some people longer than others. That's okay, right? If it takes, it took me almost 10 years of my life to get through college algebra. That, legit. I took so many math classes, right? So many math classes. And I finally ended up getting through it, right? Just by sheer force of will. But
it was a brute force hack. I got through.
But and if I can do that, like, parents can figure out how to turn on the Zoom call, right? Parents can figure out how to find out what their kids' assignments are. And if you're having difficulties, reach out to the teachers.
And the teachers are learning very quickly how to explain it.
Yeah.
Because this is what they're spending their day doing.
That's what they have to do all day, right?
Yeah. Now, I do have empathy for the parents, mm-hmm. that this is not easy for them. That's not what they signed up for either, right?
Yeah, we have
and,
a girl.
I mean, they got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we have a girl at work. She literally just quit her job so that she could be at home to teach her kids how to do stuff because, you know, her husband's not able to be around and, you know, she needs to be there to make sure that their kids get their assignments done, mm-hmm. right? She has like a bunch of stepkids. They're all in different schools and everything. So it's just a cluster. But yeah, I mean, she had to quit her job so that she could make sure that their kids were getting educated.
Yeah. So it is, it's a crazy thing that they have to deal with. No, on this show, we tend to focus on how to do the creation part, right?
Right.
But to do the creation part requires understanding what this thing is used for,
yeah.
which is so different than like, I want to make a video. Cool. I can tell you how to make a video. But if you want to know, if you want to use a video that's going to teach a kid that's at home,
yeah.
you need to understand what that kid's going through.
Yeah.
It's very different.
And another thing, when it comes to content creation, I see so many famous, very influential YouTubers out there that don't know how to make videos. You know, they just prop up their camera and make sure they're in frame. They're not cinematographers. They don't know anything about sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we talked about it on an episode before. I talked to a very influential YouTuber or Instagrammer, like how to get better sound out of his videos. And yeah. I'm like, dude's got like 2 million followers. And he's like, yeah, I just been recording it from my phone and I don't like the sound. I'm like, well, here, get this, and told him what to get. And now his videos sound great. Right?
Good job, Joseph.
But, you know, he just made sure that he was in the frame of his phone so that people could see what he was doing and made it happen. Right? Content creation can be so much easier than what a lot of people make it out to be. Which is, like, I know I shouldn't say that out loud because it's, like, literally what I do. I need to make people think that content creation is hard.
It's actually really hard.
You don't know what you're doing. Listen to me. But so I mean, just, you know, set it up, make sure it's in frame, empathize with the teachers, and learn the software. Take the time.
Like I obviously have a very me and my wife had a very different situation than most people. Right, most of last year, my wife was a substitute teacher at the schools that my kids go to. And so when everything cut out and the two of us were in charge of largely taking the instructions from the teachers and teaching the kids, we were in better shape than most, mm-hmm. because my wife may have been in the classroom of that teacher. And then I'm a professional teacher, right? Yeah. Now, the one thing that I don't know is what that teacher was thinking. Mm-hmm. I know what I think when I look at this. I know my background, but I don't. Everyone's got a different thing that they're trying to do.
Right.
So what I always tell people is, I mean, you find out what your teacher wants. Talk to them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that a lot of people are afraid to do. Ask the question. This is something I see in a lot of classes, and maybe you see the same thing. When a student enters the class or when you talk about trying a subject, they're like, oh, I don't know anything about that.
That's why we're here.
I'm sorry. The prerequisite for the class was not being an expert at the class. The purpose of the class is to teach you the thing that you're there to learn. But a lot of people don't take that because they are afraid of failure. Hmm. And part of it is the systems are not designed to allow failure to promote growth. And I have a lot of harsh feelings about this. I think, I don't know. And this is not the right podcast for this, but
I've failed a lot.
everything about almost every single grading system in school is flawed because they're not designed to measure learning. They're measuring performance, which is not the same thing.
Oh.
Okay. Let's say I've got a semester length class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why is my grade on day one being averaged in with my grade on the last day? That's not measuring my growth. That's measuring what I did on day one and day two and day three and day four and averaging it together. You're measuring performance. You're not measuring learning.
Graded on
measuring
the curve.
Learning, curve is just to adjust for how the group has performed, right? That's all that the curve does, is to adapt to a group. But that's not recognizing what an individual has learned, right? What should it do? The assumption that a society has is that, well, you know, I got good grades, I'm smart. No, that's not what your grade means. Your grade means you did what it took to get a good grade.
Yeah, your grade
it's
means
not
that,
measuring learning. Yeah.
No, your grade means that you did what you were supposed to do and got the right answers.
Honestly, the most accurate system that's actually in place is pass-fail. Did you get it? Yes. Your stamp of approval shows that they learned something much more than an A, a B, a C, or a D does. Because A, B, C, or D, it's creating an average based on things that may not actually be measuring learning. You're measuring performance on assignments averaged together over time, which is not, you've taken a snapshot of learning. Mm-hmm. You haven't identified what they've learned.
And that's why
with a grade.
That's why I only grade my classes pass fail. Did you get fitter in my class? I'm a coach.
Are we gonna talk about fitness?
We can talk about fitness.
I've been. We probably need working.
We probably need to wrap it up, but.
Why? Because we passed 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You're watching the clock. I think the whole world is learning to do something really new right now, and have patience with yourself. Have patience with everybody else involved. Schools especially need to understand that what they're asking people to do is hard, and you need to give them a break.
Yeah.
When we get to that place, we can actually work with each other because we're not afraid to fail. We're actually in a place that we can figure something out together.
I love your idea of world harmony, but it's just not going to work.
My problem is whether or not the school system allows you to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And everything, everywhere, I think here, definitely, they're trying to adapt. You know, they're making an effort to adapt, but it's so up in the air with safety, right? It all comes down to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Yeah, like my students are not going to be in the classroom with me until October right now.
Right.
Unless that, you know, gets updated. But right now, they will have gone from March to October without being in the room with me.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Like, people need to stop being so judgmental about that kind of a thing. You know, like, I hear that a lot in my work, right? Or with people that I know that are struggling with this kind of thing. Like, well, why are they going back to school? Why are they going back to school? Do they not care about safety? Well, they just do whatever the F they want.
I mean, state of Arizona came up with a 40-page book of guidelines.
Mm-hmm. And that was it, right? Those are the guidelines. You guys make your own decisions.
Yeah. They're guidelines.
Yeah.
They're guidelines that... They left it up to the local schools to figure out how they're going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like the state's going to be coming down and cracking the whip and saying, like, well, you did it wrong.
And that's what's been true of this entire pandemic. You know what I mean? And maybe it's just the area that we're in. But it seems to be, and no offense, but the social justice warriors that are making things hard on people, right? The wearing a mask. I was in Colorado. My mask got loose. It slipped down over my nose. I had a woman get in my face like this close to my face and tell me that I needed to be wearing my mask. And I was like,
Seems a bit.
I think you're missing the point of masks here, you know, or the whole fact that, you know, I had someone get on me for not having my mask up walking into a restaurant. Now in a restaurant, you can go through the door, have your mask up. As soon as you sit down, you can take your mask off because now, you know, now there's a barrier. I don't know. Right. And I had someone get upset at me for not having my mask all the way up. And I was like, I just found a seat. Really, I was kind of rude about it. I sat down in the very nearest seat that I could find, which wasn't a table that I was. There were people eating there, and I pulled my mask down. Right, and then I sat there for a little bit, and she just kind of stared at me. And I got up and I walked the 5 steps to my table without a mask up, because I'm a monster.
Yeah, you're right. Everyone kind of needs to chill a little bit. Now, I mean, is the virus dangerous? Yes. Do we kind of have an idea on how to avoid transmitting it between each other? Yes. And yet people are really offended by the process, by people not doing what they think they should be doing, mm-hmm. or people feeling that what society is saying is not necessary, not effective, not enough. A lot of people are disagreeing. And I was talking with someone about this today, and it's true. Like, presented with the same information, people choose which parts of the information they want to
interpret.
I don't know, be their gospel. Uh-huh. You know what they're going to believe, and that's the other hard thing is people are mad at science. They're like, well, why do they keep changing their mind? Well, let's explain how science works.
That's how science works.
You are trying to get the results of an experiment before it's over.
Yeah.
And you're mad that they're not accurate?
Science.
Well, they keep changing what the rules are. Yes. Yes. You want a Monday morning quarterback, you know, on the day of the game.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't have that.
Yeah. It's just silly.
I thought that was a really good example.
That was a great example.
That's pretty good.
Fantastic.
Go sports ball.
Sports ball. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that 2 cents in there. People need to calm down a little bit.
I think they do. Like, obviously, be respectful. You know, it's you protect you is more important than you trying to enforce someone else protecting you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can step backwards. You can put on your mask. And if you're not comfortable, you can leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In many situations, that is an option.
Yeah.
A store, a restaurant, like, that's an option. You could just back up.
Yeah.
I'm not very comfortable with telling other people how to live their lives, except on a podcast, which is at my house. No, but it's... I mean, I'm not very comfortable, even though I'm a teacher and it's literally my job to tell people what to do. Like, it's pretty close to my job description. And for my students, I absolutely will.
Yeah.
But if I'm walking around in the world, I'm not going to go around like, I'm sorry, you missed an apostrophe. You think you should feel bad about yourself. Like, I don't do that because that's not my job. No one's paying me to go correct your stuff. I don't want to correct the stuff I'm already given.
You obviously don't care about mankind as much as they do.
Oh, man. People, the people who try to correct other people's English, they need to. They don't get it. Yeah. They don't get it. The first class I took in graduate school was beautiful and changed my life. But what it did was this, is it basically explained as like, all right, here's the English language. But remember, language, no one's in charge, right? No one's in charge. Including English teachers. Except, we're probably the closest there is.
Except you never met my grandmother then.
People who've taken it upon themselves to go correct the universe don't understand language.
Yeah.
Language
evolves.
If you do something and I understand what you meant, that's language. Now, if you're going to criticize how someone did it,
that's also language.
That is now, you are now upset with how they communicated. Because it did not conform to what you thought they should do.
Right.
That is not the same as language. You're just mean. Now, my job is to teach how to do what society expects, and I frame it that way. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm not here to tell you that you're doing things wrong. I'm giving you the power to choose to flip the switch.
Yeah.
To conform to what society expects. That's what I do.
Giving you the tools to write. That's, I don't know. English teacher that changed my life. That's how she approached things. She was like, I want you to think of periods and commas and semicolons and apostrophes. These are tools in your toolbox to help you become a better writer or to better get a point. Get your point across. Wow, I butchered that badly.
I'm not editing this, like you said. I'm not editing this.
Anyway, we probably need to wrap up.
We just passed an hour.
I think the first 5 minutes will probably get cut. Probably not.
Probably not. Hey, Joseph, it's been fun talking with you.
It has been great. It's great to have the Carpian Zen podcast back.
There are so many things that I want to talk about that we just don't have time to do.
We just don't have time.
We need to talk about distribution.
Maybe when we're popular, we can have a 3-hour podcast, like where we actually have to stop and take a break, you know, live stream.
The first hour of the show, right?
I mean, that dude goes on for 3-4 hours. I watched a podcast the other day. It was a guy that I knew really well. He's trans now. It was a 4-hour podcast with him and his wife and his father, mother. It was very interesting, but it took me like 5 days to get through. I have a short attention span.
Yeah, I like, so my commute to work is like 20-25 minutes, right? So if I've got about a 50-minute podcast, that's a sweet spot, because then I can catch the first half on the way to work and finish it.
The last half.
And then I can do a new one the next day.
Nice. Yeah,
I like that.
Nice.
Which is why this episode was too long, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm not gonna listen to myself driving in the car. That would be awkward. But no, I've got a bunch of ideas for things we could do with the podcast in the future. Okay. Different segments.
Segments. Oh, we didn't do any segments this time.
We did zero segments. We just talked.
Yeah.
Which is okay. We had fun, right?
Mostly about Batman.
Batman was fun. I want to do a segment about pitching, because we've kind of done that on a couple episodes.
Oh, pitching ideas.
Pitching ideas. Okay. I like that.
Picks. I thought you were talking about baseball.
Count.
I mean, it's baseball season.
Not our thing. It's not our thing. You know, things we recommend, you know, some sort of marquee thing.
Okay.
How do you do? Like, let's do that. Got some ideas.
Let's do that. Let's close really quick. What are you watching right now? What do you recommend?
Okay, so this is the perfect thing to watch in election year. We are binge watching Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
Which is,
I was like, it's either
super scary.
It's either super scary. It's either House of Cards.
No, we're in the middle of season two right now.
Okay.
We're in the middle of season two right now. And it's interesting. I mean, it's an incredibly political show, right? Yeah. There's no hiding that. But it's interesting that the government is essentially a fundamentalist group, largely based more on the Old Testament than the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
which there's not very much of that in society today, but they're mm-hmm. fundamentalist group, yeah. right? That's
it makes for really government. Fun storytelling, though.
It does, but the interesting thing is, like, you know, the characters you follow, if mm-hmm. you line it up with Republican Democrat,
yeah,
they're actually arguing both sides.
Yeah,
it's not just Republicans are evil.
They do both. That's what I enjoyed about House of Cards. They skew the party lines hard. And they argue both sides quite well.
On Madam Secretary,
mm-hmm.
like technically they were a little more Democrat than Republican,
mm-hmm.
but when it came down to it, they opted for independent. Is where they ended up. Like about halfway through the show,
okay,
the president was independent, and like you know, so they could do both sides.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
Morgan Freeman produced that.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a political dude.
Yeah.
I like the way he does politics, though.
A lot of people have brought him up lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Morgan Freeman. All the things.
I feel like Morgan Freeman and I would actually be friends.
Oh, man.
That's probably not true, but, you know.
I imagine anyone that he thought was worthwhile that he could be friends with. I just don't know what his criteria is.
Yeah. So what am I watching? I'm watching a show right now called Kingdom.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know why it was like something that I picked up watching while my wife was doing something else that I could watch that she wouldn't mind missing, you know?
Because this is what happens when you get married, right? You have your together shows and then you have your separate shows.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I miss being single. Anyway, so, you know, it's a show that she doesn't mind not watching. So I'm like, okay, yeah,
that's a you show.
That's a show I get to watch.
There it is.
And it's very adult, right? But man, is it dynamic. It is really, really good storytelling. I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. But it is an incredibly dynamic, diverse group of characters that play off of each other in very realistic ways, in ways that you see in everyday life. I honestly don't know why it's not still a thing. I'm like, wow, how did this show fly under my radar? It's 3 seasons, mm-hmm. right? I'm like halfway into season 2, and then that's it, right? I'd heard of it from some guys that I didn't really consider people that I would take advice to watch shows from, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I'll pick it up. I'll get to it one day, right? But I'm like, no, it's fairly decent. There's such a broad spectrum of everything that they're telling, right? It's very interesting. It's good writing. I'm kind of bummed out that it doesn't exist anymore, or at least I hope that the people that conceptualized it and that wrote it, at least, I think the guys that conceptualized it, they're still around. They have a very niche market, things that they're trying to do. But the actual writers on the show, like, I hope that they're still working and are still doing good stuff, because they did a great job. And fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's my 2 cents.
All right. Well, thanks, Joseph.
Thanks, Jacob.
All right. Talk to you next week.
We'll see you guys next week on The Carpe and Zen Show.
Yeah. I thought you were going to keep going. A show that's not really 45 minutes. It's more like 1 hour and 7 minutes.
A show that's not really a show. It's just 2 guys sitting on a couch talking for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am so flat. I hope my mom doesn't watch this.